Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I actually think that it's a good thing when Christian leaders, whether they're Catholic or Protestant, part of preaching the gospel is talking about how the gospel applies to the issues of the day. So I've never been one of these people who say that you should never have, you know, Christian leadership not talking about politics, or frankly, political leaders not talking about their Christian faith.
I could not agree more. This is fantastic. J.D. Vance, I had read the comments, and because I started listening to him, I thought, this is so good, we got to share this. You heard Fox mention this just a minute ago as well, that yesterday at an event at University of Georgia for Turning Point USA, he was talking about the back and forth between President Trump and Pope Leo. And, you know, the Pope has basically said war cannot be supported by Christians. It's contrary to the gospel. Then the president has said various things, you know, criticizing the Pope for being a bad Pope, being a liberal, being soft on crime, and wanting Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And so it goes, and the Pope says he won't be intimidating. He's going to keep speaking. Okay, fine. J.D. Vance, as a Catholic and the vice president, I just thought had some fantastic comments. For example, that one right there, that it's perfectly normal and good for clergy, Protestant, Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Muslim, Jewish, whatever, to speak about politics and for politicians to talk about their faith. Yes, amen. Absolutely correct.
But I do think that we have to remember that, you know, each of us has our own role. I'm the Vice President of the United States. The fundamental way I understand my role is that I'm trying to take the lessons, the moral truths that are rooted in Christianity, and I'm trying to apply them to a whole host of complicated real-world scenarios. You know, thank you.
That's what you want. You want men of faith and deep thought and reflection to be considering these things and then applying what they believe to, you know, politics, to what they do in the world. Exactly. So, you know, we need more of it, not more of the, you know, keep religion out of politics, but more religion in politics, because religion influences your morality and defines it, really. And morality is the basis of your politics. And anybody who disputes me, you can text me. I'll explain how you're wrong. 437-1620. No, I mean, you do sometimes hear this nonsense argument. People say, well, you can't legislate morality. No, all you can do is legislate morality. All legislation is morality embodied with the threat or use of force by the police, the taxing power of the state. It's all morality so serious that you have to use force to cause it. You know, the reason that we prohibit murder and punish it is because murder is immoral. How do we know it's immoral? Thou shalt not murder. I mean, it's like, that's it. Religion forms morality. Morality is the basis of law. So we absolutely want people of faith thinking deeply about what their faith means. That's why Martin Luther King Jr., you know, was all about his faith. He was a preacher and a pastor, and that led him to the conviction about how to resist unjust laws that, you know, fostered racial segregation and oppression. That's what you want, is more of that. So, you know, as some people would say, well, the Pope should keep his, you know, keep his thoughts to himself and stay out of American politics or global politics. No. J.D. Vance is not saying that. He's saying, no, it's good for the Pope or anybody else to be commenting on these things. They're bringing religion into the conversation rather than stifling the conversation or keeping religion out of it, which are the bad things.
So my job is to apply moral truth to try to do the best thing for the American people. That's my job. And that's the President of the United States' job. And of course, he's the person who leads our administration. The Pope's job is to preach the gospel. Okay, and again, I think that sometimes in the context, like, it doesn't bother me, even when I disagree with him. And I have a lot of respect for the Pope. I like him. I admire him. I've gotten to know him a little bit. It doesn't bother me when he speaks on issues of the day. Frankly, even when I disagree with how he's applying a particular principle.
Right, because at least he's speaking, and we're creating an environment where talking about faith and religion and God in the context of public policy is normalized as opposed to denormalized, which has kind of been the trend for the last 40 or 50 years.
Most obvious example is, it has frustrated me that some of the Catholic clergy have attacked mercilessly the Trump administration on immigration. It is a constant idea that somehow everything that the Trump administration does when it comes to securing our borders is inhumane. And my constant response to that is, How is it humane to allow drug traffickers and sex traffickers to bring little kids across the southern border?
Amen.
How is that humane?
And by the way, he is not saying that those Catholic priests shouldn't be talking. He's just encouraging them to talk more smartly, right? To say better things, not to not talk. And it is frustrating when you feel like the whole conversation isn't really being had properly.
But again, I'd almost rather have the conversation. So I kind of like, even when there's disagreement, I like it when the Pope comments on questions of immigration. I like it when the Pope talks about abortion. I like it when the Pope talks about matters of war and peace, because I think that at the very least, it invites a conversation.
Absolutely. That's the idea. And he even says it. I would rather have them talking about faith and getting it wrong than not talking about their faith in the public sphere.
So I think some people, you know, their reaction to this is to say, well, you know, he shouldn't have said that. And look, there are certainly things that the Pope has said in the last few months that I disagree with. Let me just take like one very concrete example, you know, related to this conflict in Iran.
And by the way, I think the Pope does have an extra duty to be smart about what he says, precisely because of the mistake that a lot of people believe, which is that anything the Pope says is infallible. That is not what Catholic doctrine teaches. It teaches that he is speaking infallibly when he is speaking from the chair as Pope on matters of doctrine. So, for example, in encyclicals particularly, but not just when he's, you know, putting things up on Twitter X. That's not infallible. But because there's the perception that if the Pope says it, it's infallible, he has an extra duty to be careful about what he says, I would say. But anyway, we're going to get into what he said about war and the back and forth there in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free. But if you're on I-10 eastbound, right around the Highway 29 exit, it's a little slow and go through that construction zone. And also 98 westbound heading into Gulf Breeze, about a five-minute delay. Other than that, we're doing good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the comments of J.D. Vance yesterday at the Turning Point USA event talking about Pope Leo and the commentary on public politics and back and forth with President Trump.
So the Pope said something where he said, and I'm gonna try to remember the exact quote, but he said that God is never on the side of those who wield the sword. God is never on the side of those who wield the sword. I'm pretty sure that he said that exact statement. Now, on the one hand, again, I like that the Pope is an advocate for peace. I think that's certainly one of his roles. On the other hand, how can you say that God is never on the side of those who wield the sword?
I love that every time he talks about it, he's encouraging the public commentary. He's just saying, I wish it were said better. What Pope Leo actually said on X was, God does not bless any conflict. Anyone who is a disciple of Christ, the Prince of Peace, is never on the side of those who once wielded the sword and today drop bombs. Military action will not create space for freedom of times of peace or times of peace, which comes only from the patient promotion of coexistence and dialogue among peoples. And what J.D. Vance is saying is, no, there are many times when war is just, war has produced peace, and it's he can't comprehend how the Pope, who lives in a tradition of, he's an Augustinian, so Augustine and Aquinas and the concept of just war theory, which he's going to elaborate just a little bit, but that there are all kinds of examples where wars do accomplish even the will of God, if you look in the Bible, right?
Was God on the side of the Americans who liberated France from the Nazis? Was God on the side of the Americans who liberated Holocaust camps and liberated those innocent people from, you know, those who had survived the Holocaust? I certainly think the answer is yes.
The guy is yelling about genocide in Gaza.
I agree. Jesus Christ certainly does not support genocide, whoever yelled that out from the dark. He certainly does not. I think that's pretty easy. I think that's a pretty easy principle.
And again, he's yelling about genocide
okay,
in Gaza.
So here's a guy. Let me just say this. This is a guy. No. First of all, random dude who's shouting, can I finish my point and then I'll respond to what you just shouted? Is that okay?
I love this. He's going to finish what he's saying. He's going to answer the heckler. And he's telling the crowd, don't boo him down. It's okay. We want to talk about these things. We want to have a conversation. Every part of that I support.
So let me just finish this question on the Pope and then I want to respond to what this guy said. So, number one, when the Pope says that God is never on the side of those who wield the sword, there is more than a thousand year tradition of just war theory, okay? Now, we can, of course, have disagreements about whether this or that conflict is just, But I think that it's important, in the same way that it's important for the Vice President of the United States to be careful when I talk about matters of public policy, I think it's very, very important for the Pope to be careful when he talks about matters of theology. And I think that one of these issues here is that there has been, is again, hey, random dude screaming, I told you I'd respond to your point. I just want to respond to this question first.
And yeah, the Pope and everybody else who is in a position of prominence or authority should be careful in speaking, particularly about the domain in which they're acclaimed or recognized as an expert. So for politicians, when talking about politics, when the Pope talking about matters of theology.
But I think one of the issues here is that if you're going to opine on matters of theology, you've got to be careful. You've got to make sure it's anchored in the truth. And that's one of the things that I try to do. And it's certainly something I would expect from the clergy, whether they're Catholic or Protestant.
Most definitely. Now, he does go on and answer the bit about the heckler and the Gaza war. Well, here's his answer.
Now, to respond to this guy here, he said, believe he said the administration supports a genocide in Gaza. And here's my response to that. When we came in, the humanitarian situation in Gaza was an absolute catastrophe. You know who's the person who got a peace agreement in Gaza? Donald J. Trump. So if you want to complain about what happened in Gaza, why don't you complain about Joe Biden in the last administration? We're the administration that solved that problem.
It's a nifty answer. I'm not sure. It doesn't address the question of why was the United States willing to let Israel do what it did before, and was that a just war, or were there things that they were doing just? But, you know, he answers the objection, which is pretty neat that he could turn on a dime like that and go from this sort of clear theological, theopolitical kind of address of what the Pope is doing and turn around and talk about the guy. I mean, you know, pretty quick on his feet. The guy impresses me. So J.D. Vance as the vice president, I actually think the party is in pretty good hands between him and Marco Rubio for the future. Either or both, we'll see what things hold. Somebody texted me and said, where was it exactly? My comment about how religion is the foundation of morality, morality is the foundation of politics. Somebody says, people can be moral without religion. Every religion has good points and bad. How do you know people can be moral without religion? I mean, I know they can't answer, but how do you know? I mean, no, seriously, like, how do you know that a given person deserves the label of being called good or bad? You have a moral framework or moral judgments or a list of rules. However, where'd you get it from? The most common answer is from religion. And even for the irreligious, their ethics either come from thin air, or they come from some theory about human nature, or they come from some rational basis that they would say is the essence of morality. But that also comes from a view of religion that there is no God. Atheism is also a religion. Their books aren't quite as good, but, you know, it's also a religion. And the irreligion of the atheist is every bit as important to him and his conception of morality and politics as the religious views of the Christian, the Buddhist, the Jew, the Muslim are to him or her and his views about morality and politics. So you can say a person can be good without reference to religion, but again, how would you know? What's the epistemology there? How do you know what the rules are? Where do they come from? Religious or your irreligious conception of the universe is the basis of your morality, and that is the basis of your politics. Even the notion that you shouldn't impose your religion or your morality on somebody else, that is also a religious and moral view. And taking the high ground and saying you should tolerate other people's religion and morality, that is a moral statement. Rooted in a religious conception of the universe as people being made in the image of God with dignity and value and, you know, you should care about them as image bearers, and therefore you should respect them and not impose upon them your own views. You're arguing a Christian view as an argument against Christianity being the basis of public policy through morality. I'm sorry, did I go too fast? John, you having fun?
Oh, this is great.
Nobody ever has these conversations in the public. So I'm trying. Anyway, 823 on News Radio 92.3. Adore what J.D. Vance did yesterday. I thought it was fantastic. It's not what I expected, especially when I read some of the headlines. So well done, sir. I appreciate it. I'm Andrew McKay.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
1 in 9 children in Escambia County are victims of child abuse. When trauma steals safety, healing needs space. The Healing Garden at Gulf Coast Kids House will offer that space. With sensory plants, music, water, and shelter, over 4,000 children and their caregivers will find peace. Leadership Pensacola invites you to give today and help plant the seeds of healing. To contribute, visit PensacolaChamber.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Hey, the rent is only $400 a month.
Get out!
You know how people always say that the remakes are never as good as the original? I give you the Bangles. This song is so much better than the original Simon and Garfunkel version. Period. And if you don't agree with that, I don't know what else we can talk about. 826 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Let's see here. If you're on I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone, just expect a couple-minute delay in 98 westbound. Toward Gulf Breeze is seeing just a 2-minute delay. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. U.S. Central Command says the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports is fully implemented. The head of CENTCOM said Tuesday in less than 36 hours, U.S. forces completely halted all economic trade going into and out of Iran by sea.
By the way, there was a kind of this story rumoring around about China. There'd been a tanker that had been reflagged and had gone through, and it does not turn out that that's true. Apparently there were 6 that tried and got turned back. I think there were some let through, but they weren't porting. They weren't going to the port, is what I understand. So right. CENTCOM put out a big thing about this yesterday.
There has been so much misinformation Iranian sources and that type of stuff over the course of this whole thing.
Amen.
Another woman now accusing Eric Swalwell of sexual assault. Lana Drews claims that the now former congressman raped her at a hotel in West Hollywood in 2018. She believes that he spiked her drink with drugs and said nothing about the encounter was consensual. And Major League Baseball honoring Jackie Robinson's legacy today. Jackie Robinson Day marks the anniversary of the day he broke baseball's color barrier, debuting with the Brooklyn Dodgers April 15th, 1947. To honor his memory, all players wear the number 42.
And, you know, it's really an ugly thing to talk about, but you remember the argument by the white players at the time was they didn't want to have to play against the athletically superior but racially inferior blacks. That's what their view was. They had to protect baseball's integrity from having to play against what they considered like the dirty animals, basically. It's so disgusting that this is ever the case. And I love every year. I mean, I hate that I can't tell which player is which anymore, but they all wear the same number as we're all one in solidarity. It is a great day every single year. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Other cool things on this day in history, I'll tell you in just a second. April 15th is my son's birthday, my first son. So it's like one of my favorite days. And so much happened on April 15th, good and bad, but I'll tell you in a second. Meanwhile, if you're thinking about that next home or selling your home or picking up a vacation rental or a long-term rental or just, you know, moving to the beach or moving to the city or moving to the country or whatever the case may be, Christina Leavenworth can take care of you for that. And especially if it's a first time, like you're going to go from, I don't know, living at home or you're getting married or you're, you know, you rent, whatever the case may be, if you're trying to buy your first house, it's daunting. It's scary. It's a big decision. And it feels like your whole life is on the line if you don't get it right. Well, that's why you have a good realtor. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they sold 209 homes last year, and they help people all the time, and especially new home buyers, because this is a chance for you to learn the ropes, learn your way around, get the right questions, get better questions, all the stuff that she will teach you. You'd be amazed. I wish we could go back and buy our first home with Christina, but we can't because, you know, it was a long time ago before she was doing real estate and it was in St. Louis. But if I could, I would recommend to you, do use her as your real estate agent. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. All right, I mentioned it's my boy's birthday, so today is a day I always get excited about, April 15th. Lots of things on this day in history. President Lincoln was shot. And, well, actually, he was shot last night. He died this morning. There's a lot of those. You know, a thing happened yesterday and today. GE started. The Titanic sank. It hit the iceberg last night, and it sank today. Insulin became widely available. Rand McNally made their first road atlas. The Great Flood of 1927, the Mississippi, the most destructive river flood in U.S. history. Jackie Robinson. The B-52 flew for the first time, not the one that sings, the one that drops bombs. McDonald's opened for the first time. Wow. What's the location of the first McDonald's?
California somewhere.
No. Wow. It's in Illinois, but then he bought the franchise from the California brothers. That's right. The Mustang, first Mustang rolled off the floor in 1964. And the Boston Marathon bombing in 2013. And it's tax day. Like, a lot of weird, both good and bad, happened today.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump's view of the world, with the White House signaling more Iran peace talks and oil prices tumble.
It's going to come dropping down very big as soon as it's over, and I think it can be over very soon.
Telling Fox Business, with a complete U.S. military blockade of Iran's ports, he thinks Iran wants to make a deal very badly. Senate Democrats try again this afternoon to force a vote to rein in the president's war powers. Congress relieved but not absolved of a sex scandal after Congressman Eric Swalwell resigned. Lisa Bloom, the Beverly Hills lawyer for the latest woman accusing Swalwell of drugging and raping her.
Your recent statement that you are just not perfect, you are not a saint, is just blather and spin. Stop it.
Swalwell's denials under criminal investigation. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 68 degrees. Beautiful morning out there. Partly cloudy skies. We're going to get to a full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, Milton's police chief had some explaining to do after an April Fool's Day joke. An outside organization, Offensive, posted an April Fool's joke claiming that the Milton Police Department had purchased an invisible police cruiser. Apparently, some residents actually believed it. The chief addressed that tonight with good humor.
It garnered a lot of attention. Apparently, they did such a great job in their April Fool's joke that there were several of our local residents who actually believed it was true. I saved some of them, if any of you would like to stop by my office to hear the voicemails regarding whether it was appropriate or prudent or not for me to have chosen to have an invisible vehicle, that could the money have been spent elsewhere, that there should be a law that cruisers should be visible. And then I did explain to one gentleman that it was a joke from an organization. It was not approved by the city nor by the police department. In fact, I wasn't aware until it was forwarded to me.
And the chief clarified last night that she is actually replacing a real, fully visible 2015 cruiser with 156,000 miles on it, but the replacement will not have a cloaking device. Well, there is a new star in the Gulf Coast. Alexia Jay of Mobile County won season 29 of NBC's The Voice. Jay performed alongside her coach Adam Levine during last night's season finale. She performed Sunday morning alongside Adam Levine last night. Organizations interested in applying for Visit Pensacola event marketing grants will need to attend one of several upcoming workshops. The first one, scheduled for next Monday, April 21st, at the Bowden Building on Church Street. Additional sessions are scheduled April 23rd, 29th, and May 1st. The grant application deadline is June 4th. The Blue Angels have a new commanding officer. Commander Logan Peck was announced on Tuesday at a ceremony at NAS Pensacola. He'll be the team's 2027-2028 leader, replacing Captain Adam Bryan, who led the squadron since 2024. Peck said he's humbled and a little in shock to be selected to lead the Navy's flight demonstration squadron. More than 120 miles of State Road 80 from Palm Beach County to Lee County are being renamed President Donald J. Trump Highway. And that starts July 1st. Governor DeSantis signing that bill on Tuesday. Palm Beach County Representative Meg Weinberger sponsored that measure. Also in Hillsborough County, the county and city of Tampa planning to contribute over $900 million to a new Tampa Bay Rays stadium using a half-cent sales tax. The county contributing $700 million there and the city more than $220 million. The county, the Hillsborough County Commission discussing the new stadium as part of a workshop tomorrow. It's 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3, and we do have 68 degrees with some sunshine right now. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. I can't believe I just said that. I-10, I-110, it's flowing smoothly. 98, Highway 90, everything looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Always love good news there. It's 8:35, your weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We will have sunny skies today with a high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 79. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Keeping the sunshine around on Friday with a high near 80 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Sunshine on Saturday with a high near 80. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 68 and sunshine. Your next news in 30 minutes. Your money now this hour. Markets at the opening bell are up a little bit. The Dow's up 48.5 points at 48,584.52. The S&P's up just under 13 points at 69,81.95. NASDAQ up 80 points this morning at 23,719.22. 10-year bond rate is up a bit, 4.26%. Gold price is down $7.90 at $48.42.20. Silver up 8 cents at $79.61. And looking at that oil price, we are down just over a quarter percent at $91.03 a barrel today. Bitcoin is down just under $100, $74,169 even. Taking a look at some of our financial headlines for today. Well, the income tax filing deadline has arrived. If you're not ready, there are a few options for
you. You have until midnight tonight to file your income tax returns, whether you e-file or you complete a paper return. And if there's no way that you're going to be done, you can file for an extension by downloading Form 4868 at irs.gov. It gives you until October 15th to file, but if you owe, you still need to pay now. You can get a payment plan, but it tacks on a 5% penalty for every month you owe. And that adds up. I'm Daria Albinger.
The International Monetary Fund is cutting its growth outlook due to price increases caused by the war in the Middle East. The organization ensures stability in global financial systems. They met Tuesday in Washington, D.C. and said the world was facing much weaker growth as shipping disruptions continue in the Strait of Hormuz. And the majority of American farmers say they won't be able to purchase enough fertilizer this year. That's according to a new survey from the American Farm Bureau Federation that found 70% of farmers said fertilizer is just too expensive. There's differences by region. 80% of southern farmers say they just can't afford it, compared to just under 50% in the Midwest. Since the start of increased tensions in the Middle East, fertilizer prices have gone up more than 30%. 8:38. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring the all-new 2026 Subaru models. Like the all-new 2026 Subaru Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 1.9% for 48 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Ascent? Finance either one for 2.9% for an amazing 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% financing for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek Ascent and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791 or online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At Penair Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids. Rolaids dual active formula has calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. Yeah, you heard right. Two actives for that powerful relief. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Spring shows up quietly around here. A little more daylight. Warmer afternoons. A lot going on locally. News Radio 92.3 keeps you connected to it all, with the stories, updates, and conversations that shape your day.
Stay informed. Staying connected.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
New season, same trusted source.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, so today we got a something that verges on being an ethics question, and I'm always, though I'm eager at any time to discuss ethics.
Of course you are. You're eager.
Politics, yes. Yeah, of course. But generally we try to stay away from anything substantial in the frivolous topic segment of the show, and so I'm going to ask it, and we're going to try to keep it from being super an ethics question. But here's a question. When you're out at a restaurant and you've gotten chair instead of booth, separate issue, okay? You got a table
separate
with the chairs. And you're leaving. Do you feel like it's your obligation to put the chair back in? Do you put the chair back in, or is it okay to leave it kind of ajar or out or whatever? Does it bother you if other people don't put the chair back in, or, you know, do you put the chair back in? 437-1620. Could be places other than a restaurant, I suppose, but when there's a chair to be pushed in, do you feel like you have to push it in?
That's the best example, yeah.
Yeah, that's the most. Yeah. That's the one people encounter the most. So, John, you were nodding your head yes. I'm assuming that as a you know, well-trained little Baptist boy
Southern
that you
boy.
Were.
Yeah, no, you push that chair right in.
And what do you think of somebody who leaves it out?
Yankee.
Dummy.
Yeah, they ain't from here.
Yeah, they don't believe in civilization. There's something wrong with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Boy,
bad parenting.
You're just reading my mind. Bad parenting, that's right.
What do you think of somebody who puts a bullet in the radio?
Because that means somebody else has to go and clean up after them.
Right. Okay.
But it's a Southern thing to do. I mean, come on.
437-1620.
Now I've got two Northerners here, and I'm like, great.
PJ, a Wisconsinite. We should talk about lineage. You're from Texas. He's from Wisconsin. So
I always push the chair back in, and then I go around the table because my kids. I don't know that it's a Southern thing per se, or whatever, a Northern thing, because my kids always leave the chairs out. So as
so
a parent,
that's bad
you gotta
parenting.
Go, yeah. No, it's not what? Bad parenting.
Well, you just said your kids don't put the chairs in, so.
Hey, I try to tell them.
So it's, okay.
You can only do it. Hey, there's parents out there that understand. You can only do what you can
do. The struggle is real.
I don't know about you, but my kids always do everything I say on the first try. And
that's right.
Even when I say it in a gentle voice. I don't know what you're doing over there. Whatever. Maybe you need to read the Bible. So, a little spanking goes a long way. No kidding. I mean, that's true, but anyway. Okay, so you put in your own and you feel the obligation to clean up after your...
Yes, I do.
Your brood, whatever. Okay. Yeah. Your litter. All right, 437 1620. Your litter, her litters. I would have said, I do believe in putting the chair back in. I would have said even sometimes I would put somebody else's chair back in, you know, as a decluttering exercise. You know, the aisle, it interferes with the aisle, it looks weird, whatever. But apparently, according to my wife, I failed this twice recently, and she's like, you know what you should talk about on the show is how you don't put the chair back in. I thought,
Guess
I failed. Yeah.
Bad parenting?
I left the chair out at the restaurant. I was not only a bad parent, I was a bad example to my kids. So
exactly.
But can I play devil's advocate? Because, you know, every once in a while, it's a fun role. Think through it with me.
Okay.
When the server or the busboy comes to the table, what do? They pull the chair back out.
Just one to put their little thing in.
Yeah, but you sometimes got to pull all the chairs out to clean and wipe and, you know, get the stuff off.
Before,
and,
but,
you know,
okay.
So you're actually, you could argue, saving the busser a job because you're facilitating the fact that they're going to have to pull that chair out anyway. And if it's a mess, it's a mess, it's a mess. Why does it matter whether the chairs, they're going to tidy it up anyway. So what's
Do you leave a mess below your chair, Andrew?
Well, I think At this point, I'm really thinking.
The way I eat ribs,
yes.
437-1620, John Pickens, Southern Boy and Proud of It, has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze, we're seeing about a 7-minute delay now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
A 7-minute delay.
7-minute delay.
Little sing song. Yeah, I kind of like that. Little
well, you got
vocal
me.
Vocal variation.
Well, you know, baby shark.
Oh, how dare you? So rude. You just earwormed somebody all day for sure with that. Hey, if you need to do any kind of video. Now, this, literally any. It could be for training purposes in your business. It could be for recruiting purposes. It could be for an ad on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram or TV or radio. Of course, not so much video on the radio. But, you know, it could be any kind of, or like you're trying to create a marketing campaign to sell your boat or to promote the real estate development that you're doing or to survey the outside of your house for in case there's a storm. Pelican drones. They do all of this. Now, I know in their name it says drone, so you think it's got to be drone related. No, they do ground-based footage all the time. They do the 360 mapping of things or videoing of things, anything that is video based, and they will edit it for you, they will produce it for you, they'll do all of that, and then you own it at the end. So you own the raw material, you own the produced part, you can do with it whatever you want. They do big and small clients, FDOT, FPL, Innisfree, Visit Alabama, Portofino. They've been working with those folks for more than 10 years, and your neighbor. You know, if they're wanting to do a video of the house, pricing by the hour, by the half day, by the day. In any case, Pelican Drones, great resource if you need any kind of video footage done for anything, including wedding or Blue Angels or the floor bam or whatever the case may be, pelicandrones.com. All right, question of the day is, do you put the chair back in at the restaurant when you're done or other places where that might be an issue, but that's the main one. Or do you feel like it's a moral obligation? Like there's something wrong with you if you don't, something wrong with other people if they don't. They're not Southern enough. They're not Midwestern enough. They're too much like Andrew. You know, whatever the case may be. 437-1620.
Set the example.
What's that?
Set the example, Andrew.
Yeah, all right. And
it's funny that she caught that.
Yeah. And, you know, ragged on me for it, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says it's not 437-1620. That's how you weigh in by text. Not an obligation, but just a nice courtesy. Also, it clears an egress route. Yeah, it keeps the walkways clear, basically. I don't think less or better of anyone for what they do with their chair. That's probably disappointing to chair militants like John because he's hoping you'll think well of him. He's hoping you'll kind of admire him. Look at that fine young Southern boy.
You know what?
The chair
I don't
in.
Think that much, and I just do it because I know my mama would beat my butt.
If you knew that everybody saw you put in that chair and thought, what a sucker.
Too much time to think, bro.
As somebody says, as my mother said, leave it as you found it. I'll go you one better. I'm going to one-up your mother. You're right. It's a terrible practice on the radio, but leave it a little bit better than you found it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, you can't argue against it. Common courtesy for all involved, push it in. All caps, push it in. And then I think this is a hand slap in the face emoji, but with my eyes, I can't see it anymore. I'm a reformed New Englander.
Thank you. Reformed. Welcome.
I love that. Yes, the chair should be put back to the proper etiquette position. Also, that way you don't stub your toe. It isn't acceptable to not place the chair neatly in the under-the-table position. Indeed, it's rather rude. It's the same as returning the shopping cart, a first-time text. I love getting texts from people for the first time. One of our local electeds says, always push the chair back in. Same as returning the shopping cart to the buggy corral. Basic human decency. We're trying to have a civilization over here, you know. James says, I always put the chair back in. I don't say anything to those who don't, but you do quietly judge them the same as I do with those who don't return the shopping cart.
Yep, that's the quiet judgment.
Yes, that's it. It's put the chair in. It's a trip hazard for others. This is all different answers. I think I subconsciously put the chairs in, but I absolutely stack the plates, et cetera, to help clean up. Oh, who does that? Do you stack your plates to help the busser or the waiter? Oh, you don't?
It depends.
John doesn't. I can see it on his face.
It
pains him to admit.
I don't do it consciously. Sometimes. I mean, like the other day I did it, but sometimes you're just done.
If three or four people are done and you have not facilitated their job, son.
I just don't think that much.
Okay. 437. Were you ever a waiter?
No.
Oh, that's the gap.
Oh, I wouldn't have made that.
that's the gap. The gap is, I think anybody who's ever worked in that job, it's habitual.
They wouldn't have
wanted
me to. And
it's facilitating. They wouldn't have wanted you to be a waiter?
No, that's not a career choice for me.
I sit in the booth, so there's no issue. Somebody says, I love how you get John laughing. I'm from California. They say, I always put my chair in. It's considered a safety issue. Oh, we found the one Californian. Anyway, not who listens, but who puts their chair back in. I'm just kidding. So you're creating job security for the bus. Oh, no. No, you misunderstood. I wasn't saying you break things so you create jobs for people to pick up the glass. I'm saying I was actually making their job easier because I'm not creating job security by making a mess they have to clean up. That's bad. I should read to you the Frederick Bastiat from the law in 1800. And that's a whole side topic, how that's bad. But no, I'm making their job easier because they're going to have to pull the chair out anyway in the process of cleaning. I mean, I don't
actually
believe this.
Laws from the 1800s?
There's a little book called The Law written by a guy named Frederick Bastiat. He's a French political economist of the 1800s, and it's all about that very... It's short. Okay. You read it.
All right, but it has to have
It's not
pictures.
Even 100 pages. It's all about the broken window theory of, you know, when you break a window, you're making jobs for the people who make windows. No, you're taking wealth away from the world, and you're making the world a worse place, and the money that could otherwise be used to replace the window has to be squandered away from the other thing could have been done to actually do good in the world. It is a whole long thing.
Oh,
This notion that litter creates jobs for the people who pick up litter, okay?
Okay.
Graffiti creates jobs for the people who clean up the graffiti. You know, that nonsense. Sorry, you get me going. That's an important thing that we don't ever talk about. The error that underlies that view. Hurricanes create jobs because look at all the construction. No, hurricanes destroy things. It's bad, period. Let's see. Of course you put it back in. Somebody says that goes right along with leaving everything as you found it, or better than. John says, I always push my chair in except when I don't. As for everyone else, when it comes to chairs being pushed in, I'm firmly in the you-do-you camp. Growing up, we had a big family, small house, so I always had to push the chairs in because there wasn't enough space. Yes, push the chair back in. Somebody else says, clean up after yourself. Somebody says, I am now officially known as the one-upper. That is an accurate assessment of my character flaw, though, too. That's just the person who texted that my mom says, leave it as you found it, and I one-upped him on that. Their mom, really. Your mom. You know, that's a phrase that we should really allow back into the language. In the 80s, you know, your mom.
Your mom said.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. It's common courtesy. People with bus tables do it. John Bounce is not stacking the dishes by pushing in chairs. Oh, all right. Fair enough. Okay. Somebody says, our family had the pre-busing ritual. John had better watch it since I'm a northerner. That's your girlfriend, your fiance. Uh-huh. Interesting take on how waiters and waitresses look at chairs being put in at the Shane's Steakhouse in Asheville. Okay, we are so far afield. I love this. Policy was to put the chair back in so customers, waiters, and waitresses don't trip over that. Buses do not have to clean up under the table if you don't want if you don't make a mess under the table.
Andrew. and ribs.
If we make a mess, I try to clean it up. But then again, you're under the table is usually kind of, I don't want to. More tip, though.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary. And you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it.
The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkenes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
This, I say, this calls for massive retaliation!
Foghorn Leghorn, the repository of all the wisdom I was given as a child. 8:56 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now. Also, still seeing some minor delays on 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I love that this person, their favorite thing about the frivolous topic is how I make you laugh. That just makes me happy.
Well, because it's questions that I don't even think about, and then you make me think about it. Now I'm going to have to watch people and tables.
I still remember with great clarity and joy the time when I made PJ not able to continue during his traffic report. PJ, do you remember that still?
I do.
Love it. That's such a happy day. Whiting Field. NES Whiting Field just did the ribbon cutting yesterday on their new north tower, the air traffic control tower. If you don't know the setup at Whiting, which why would you if you've never been on the base, there's really two fields. It's two airports merged together. The south field is the one where they do the helicopters, and the north field is the one where they do the T-6 Texans, the fixed wing. So when you think about the two very closely connected but not the same missions that they have, The T-6 Texans, the fixed wings that you see flying overhead, and the little orange planes with the propeller, turboprop, that's flying off the north field. That's what this tower was for, replacement of the old one. And then the south tower, there's two separate towers because it's really two separate airfields. And then the south tower is the one that handles the helicopters, which if you see those, now you know those are south tower. So, you know, they replaced the north tower. So it's a great story. They've had a lot of stuff in the news. They got that award for being the, what was it, John? Now I forget the... Oh, bother, I don't have it in front of me. Shouldn't do this without notes. Anyway, it's the Shore E, which an E flag is given to ships. And they just started, the CNO just started doing this award for the Land E, the Shore E, which is for shore installations, which contribute the most or are in the best condition to support the mission. And they won for small installation, medium. It's kind of weird because Whiting is relatively small footprint and people, but the busiest airfield in the entire world. You know, training all of those people, training all of your naval, marine, and Coast Guard aviators for rotators, for, you know, for helicopters, and then training like, you know, what, 60% of all your fixed wing, your aviators for the Marines and the Air Force, or in the Air Force and the Navy. We do some Air Force at NAS Pensacola, I like to remind people, and they don't know that either. Anyway, so cool for them to have that done. It's a big landmark for them. What was the other thing I was going to mention to you in my 18 seconds that I have left? Kraft Mac and Cheese is not changing the classic recipe.
Well, you have me scared.
I know. It's a scary thing when you start hearing the words Kraft Mac and Cheese and change. They are not changing the all-time classic wonderful recipe. They are instead adding new flavors of what they call restaurant-grade mac and cheese, you know, ones with extra cheeses or mushrooms and onions or basil pesto or whatever.
What is the regular one called? It's not restaurant-grade?
Cheesy greatness.
Okay.
No, we didn't. Come on.
I'm just asking questions.
Oh, but if you had a restaurant that served Kraft mac and cheese as a side, wouldn't you love it? It's so good.
I mean, I had to admit that one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No,
they already have the shells and cheese, the Velveeta, which is like definitely step up in cost and, you know, richness and flavor in it. But those are two very different things. The Velveeta shells and cheese, the Kraft
mac and
cheese.
That's a topic for another day.
Which one do you like better? What would you like to ask?
What do you prefer?
Don't make me pick between my kids like that. That's not right. PJ's up next with Pep Talk. Meg's out again, but PJ will have good stuff for you coming up next.
You're listening to